Good evening, family. Good evening, good evening, good evening. What a blessing it is to be able to share with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday evening, the Word of God. This is our Bible study for the New Home Family Worship Centers. Typically, this would be Wednesday night, New Orleans East, Wednesday night in New Home, Houston. But now it's just New Home Family Worship Center's Wednesday night Bible study. We're all in the same sanctuary. Isn't that something? We're all in the same room together now. It's amazing how God uniquely takes what seems to be tragic and creates something beautiful of it. Beauty for ashes. Isn't that amazing? But tonight I want to look at something, and I need you to invite as many people into this discussion as possible, because I really believe that the word that I have for you today is going to shift your life during this time in a way like you've not experienced to this point. I was just meditating the other day, and the Lord said to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, actually, the people need to have, some need to have a reintroduction to me, and others need to meet me personally for the first time. You don't want to go through a crisis like this without a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I know that so many of you are, you know, concerned about connecting with this person and connecting with that person, and you can't wait until this is over so you all can come back together again. And the reality is that the most important person in your life, not just now, but especially now, is the Holy Spirit. And many of you, because, you know, things were well with you, times were good, continue to invite people and share this, you ignored the Holy Spirit. You sat up in this place or other New Home churches, and you really just approached this thing from a religious, ritualistic perspective. That's my church. That's where I go to worship. That's where I, you know, I pay my tithe, I give my offering. That's my church. And you never really developed a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And now you're in a situation, watch this. Now you're in a situation where you can't get back in here, or you can't get back into Uptown, or you can't get back into Baton Rouge, or you can't get back into Houston, or you can't get back into Hammond. And now for the first time in your life, you're having to do Christianity by yourself without the aid of a leader. And you're sitting there in your home and you're feeling like you're all by yourself. And you're feeling like you can't make it because I can't get to my pastor. And the reality is that Jesus left the Holy Spirit to come alongside of you in times like these to help you. He's there. You just haven't recognized him, but he's there. In all of your despair, the Holy Spirit is sitting right there, waiting to help you. In fact, about it, your inability to recognize him grieves him, because he's there for you. So for the next two nights, I want you to stay glued, because I'm going to help you to understand and begin to embrace the Holy Spirit personally. Not what you heard your pastor say, not what you heard prophets say, where you begin to know him personally. Let's look today at some facts about the Holy Spirit. And if you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul says here, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, this text really spoke volumes to me because the apostle uses a powerful, powerful term as he references the believer's relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he says that we should have communion with the Holy Spirit. Let me read it again. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And the word communion in the Greek is the term koinonia. It means, watch this, to have a partnership with him, to have participation with him. It means to have interaction with him. It means to be invested in him as he is invested in you. So the Holy Spirit, watch this, is not something you catch when Bishop Samuel Blake sings your favorite song. The Holy Spirit is not something you catch, you know, when the preacher gets to the high point and you catch the Holy Ghost. No, the reality is you and the Holy Spirit are supposed to walk step by step together. You're supposed to be in an ongoing partnership, participation, interaction with the Holy Spirit. The believer is designed, now listen to this statement very carefully because this is powerful. The believer, the child of God, is designed to have a 24/7 involvement with the Holy Spirit. Like when the Bible talks about pray without ceasing, well, what do you think that means? That doesn't mean you sit at your desk all day and, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No. You never keep a job. You behave like that, you pretty much need some medicine and a special place to live. That's not what that's talking about. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, it means to have the Holy Spirit in your space and to have an ongoing interaction and fellowship and communion with the Holy Ghost all day long. Man, I wake up all through the night and I just talk to the Holy Spirit. I tell the Holy Spirit my fears. I give the Holy Spirit, in these days, I give the Holy Spirit all of my anxiousness. I allow the Holy Spirit to help me through all of my heaviness. And when I rise in the morning, I rise in his power. Why? Because my communion with him is 24/7. Now, some of you that are watching right now, you really need to, and let's do it together. We need to repent right now, right now. I want you to say with me, Holy Spirit, I repent for not respecting or recognizing you as my helper. I open the door of my heart and I ask you now to take complete control. I need you in my life. Boy, I felt something shift right there. Now, we cannot develop this communion, this 24/7 communion with the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit, if we are not clear on certain points. The first thing you got to be clear on is that he is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Because one of the misconceptions regarding the Holy Spirit is that he is simply some force or energy that is used by God to accomplish a divine agenda. And this misconception is frequently revealed in how the Holy Spirit is referred to in even in the church as it. It's here. Welcome it in. The Holy Spirit, what is it? No. The Holy Spirit is not an it, babe. No. The Holy Spirit is a person with personality. And until you recognize that the Holy Spirit is a person, you will always find yourself using language that grieves him. How would you feel if you walked into your family reunion and they said, "It's here. There it is. Boy, it's looking good, huh? Boy, it's looking good." No. Well, that's how we ignorantly in the body of Christ. That's how we refer to the Holy Spirit as it, because we don't have the revelation of his personhood. If you go to John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, listen to what Jesus says. He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you." Jesus ascribes personality, personhood to the Holy Spirit by the use of personal pronouns and by the mentioning of the various activities that he would be involved in. He performs activities that persons perform. Now, we get sidetracked because we can't see him or hear him audibly. We get sidetracked, you know, and because we can't put our eyes on him or we can't tune our ears audibly into his voice, it throws us off and we lose sight of the revelation that he is person. But if I went to NASA and got some suit that made me invisible, would I be less of a person? If somehow, you know, scientists created a suit that you couldn't see my physical anatomy, but yet I'm here, would I be less of a person? If you knew that I had this suit and promised that I would be with you, you would seek to discern my presence. You would look for signs of my presence and even ask me to reveal myself. If you forgot that I was here and ignored me, I would get offended and not seek interaction. I remember on the morning my father passed or transcended and went to his heavenly reward, I was in the room, as was the rest of my family. And I saw when my father's spirit left his body. Come on now. I had preached this: absent from the body, present with the Lord. But I saw when his spirit left his body, and immediately I started referring to the body as it, because I knew that the prophet had left the body. Because whether you know it or not, you're not even looking at R.C. Blakes Jr. You're simply looking at the house that I live in, because I am spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. The Holy Spirit just does not have a body. That's why Jesus says that it's beneficial to you guys that I go away, because as long as I'm here, I'm confined to this body. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. He's going to be there. He's going to be everywhere, because he's not restricted to a body. But because he does not have a body, does not make him less of a person. When we treat the Holy Spirit as though he does not exist, or in an irreverent manner, as though he's something, we grieve him. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." If we don't know him as a person, we can begin to treat him in ways that disagree with him, or we can become totally oblivious to his presence altogether. So number one fact you got to get clear on is that he is a person. Number two, he's God. Now, you know, we have all of these different theological debates and all of this kind of thing about a whole lot of stuff that doesn't really matter, but we see him functioning in the beginning of creation in a godlike fashion. If you go to Genesis 1, 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Come on, somebody. From the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit was present. He was even a part of fashioning you. Fashioning myself as we are. Though we may not know him very well, most of us don't, he knows us intimately. And the Bible says in Job, listen to what Job says in Job 3 and 4, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." Job says, "The Spirit of God made me." The only being with creative power is God. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we have to understand that not only is he a person, but he is God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the triune Godhead, one God in three distinct functions. As I stand before you here today, I'm a pastor, I'm a bishop, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend. Come on now. Same person, multiple functions. If you look in 1 John 5 and 7, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word," in other words, Jesus, "and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Jesus, the Son, was just another expression of God. After Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes, and he's just what? An expression of God. They're all one. The Father speaks for himself. Term speaks for itself. The Word is a reference to Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is clearly a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Godhead consists of these three, but they are one. It's a mystery. Don't try to go to a blackboard and explain that. That's a mistake y'all making in these seminaries. Don't try to go to a blackboard and explain that. You can't explain that. That's above your pay grade. Your brain, my brain, our little pea brains cannot contain that revelation. That's a part of the stuff that we got to believe by what? Faith. It's a mystery. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here we see the triune Godhead represented there. The Son is in the water. The Holy Spirit is descending, and the Father is speaking from the heavens. He is God. He is God. He is person. He is God. Watch this. Here's the revelation you got to catch for these times, and I'm done. He is our helper. He is our helper. Some of y'all trying to figure out, how am I going to make it through these times? He is our helper. Have you ever been in need of a certain something to accomplish a particular task and travailed over the matter for a great while only to discover that you had what you needed the entire time? What a frustration. You've wasted time. You've missed an assignment because you didn't think you had what you needed. And the reality was that you had everything you needed the entire time. It leaves you feeling foolish and silly. The Holy Spirit is with us to help us through all of life's difficulties. And we are constantly overlooking him. And we are constantly stressing. This is this is the most difficult season. This is the most difficult season of my pastorate. And I've been pastoring for, 38, something like that. I forget. And this is by far the most difficult season of my pastorate. I'm in New Orleans, and I got to bury one member after another. And I'm talking about pillars in the ministry. And I got to go in, and I got to do these funerals, honor these saints without touching. I can't touch the families. Pastor, many of the family members, I can't touch them. I can't hug them. I can't say, Pastor, love you. I got to do this with a mask on. I got to wake up in the morning and I got to open my phone while holding my breath because I'm on edge that somebody else died last night. My sanctuaries are empty. I haven't seen my people. And not only have I not been able to touch my people, I have not even been able to see them but for funerals. And some say, well, how do you survive that? How do you push through that? How do you keep your emotional equilibrium? It's because every morning I wake up, I recognize my helper. Every time it gets too heavy for me, I've learned to shift the load onto my helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means he helps what? Our weaknesses. When you run out, the Holy Spirit is there to step in. And I can feel you right now. I can feel you. I can feel you. I can feel you. I can feel you. You're on the brink of breakdown, and the Holy Spirit is whispering in your ear right now, I'm here to help you. And the Lord has passed on here tonight to say to you, don't break down when you have all the help you need. Turn your breakdown into a breakthrough because the Holy Spirit will help you. He's a person. He's God. And he's a helper. He's a helper. For those of you that are dealing with the transition of loved ones, I commend you and I commit you into the hands of the Lord, into the hands of the Holy Spirit. I'm a living witness. He'll help you. He'll give you strength you didn't know you had. He'll carry you through stuff that's too much for you to bear because he's your helper. He's your helper. And I thought this was a good time, while I have your attention, to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Every head bow. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you at this time, at every time they're watching this. We thank you that you are making the Holy Spirit real to us. That he's not an it, but he's a person. He's God, and he's here present to help us. We thank you for giving us that revelation. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to move upon the hearts of the sons and the daughters. Move upon their hearts. Wrap your arms around them and give them evidence that you're with them and that you're there. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you're there and you're saying, Pastor, I want to be saved, or I've never accepted the Lord, I want to accept the Lord into my life, or you're there and you're saying, Pastor, I'm a backslider, and I've been separated from the church for almost 2 months now, and I feel a need to reaffirm my connection. I need to return to my first love. Or thirdly, the Spirit of God is just leading you to join this family. You can do one of two things. I like the way Bishop Bolden does it. You can make a comment in the comment section that you're accepting the Lord into your life as your Savior, or you want to return to the Lord, or you want to make new home your family. And somebody's going to check that, and one of our elders is going to reach out to you. And when we can come back together again, we want to baptize you. We want to welcome you into the family. We want to restore your fellowship. Or you can reach out to me at rcblakesministries@gmail.com and just let me know, Pastor, I was watching and I made a decision. And watch God do a new thing in your life. Now listen, as we prepare to honor the Lord in our giving on this Wednesday night, I want those of you, I want you to first of all think about those of you that, the Lord has blessed you to yet have your jobs, those of you that the Lord has put resources into your life and into your hands, and you, it's just miraculous how God has done that. I want you to think about how disrespectful it would be for you to be sustained by the Lord and not honor the Lord with your tithe. If you're like me, God has been good to you and God has kept you, and you got more than you thought you would have in a crisis, in a pandemic, think about how disrespectful it would be for you to not honor the Lord with your tithe. I want you, every person that's watching me now, you know that God has been good to you and you have a tithe that you have not deposited into the house of God. I want you right now, look at the bottom of this screen. I want you to use Givelify. I want you to use Cash App. I want you to go to the website. I want you to use Text to Give. If you need to mail it, I want you to get your tithe into the hands of God. The Bible says that it's holy unto the Lord, meaning God takes this very seriously. And then the second thing I'm asking you to do is I want you to get your seed. And what I'm asking every person to do right now is to get a $33 seed. And I want you to just sow it. Have you noticed how you've been sowing during this pandemic and God keeps it flowing? Have you noticed that? The old song said, you can't beat God given no matter how hard you try. I want you to get a $33 seed. And I want you to use one of these means. And I want you to sow it now. Don't put it off because you're going to forget about it. Sow it now. And I'm believing God that He will show you the supernatural as a consequence of this seed in Jesus' name. Now listen, just know that I love you with all of my heart, and know that I'm praying for you. Know that I cannot wait to wrap my arms around your neck and to tell you how much I love you and how much I think when we come back together again, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach anything. I think I'm just going to want to hug my whole congregation. That's going to be a lot of work, but I'm willing to do it because I miss you so much. And I know that God is bringing a whole new addition to the flock after all of this is over. I want to hug you and throw my arms around your neck and welcome you into the greatest family on the planet, the New Home Family of Churches. This is Pastor R.C. Blakes Jr. Yeah, some people call me the bishop. One person calls me husband, others call me father, but I'm just the child of God. And I want you to know that I love you with all of my heart, and you're constantly in my prayers. And listen to this. We're coming out of this. There shall be glory after this. God bless you. Hey, this is R.C. Blakes, and I just wanted to share something with you. I've not been so excited about a project, a book, an online program, or anything like I am about this particular project. I've not been this excited in a long time. I think the last time I was really this excited was when I published The Father-Daughter Talk. There's this book that I wrote entitled Soul Ties, Breaking the Ties That Bind. Now this book is a few years old, but I always knew that I would have to expand on it. In fact, I know that I'm going to have to even write more on the subject. But of late, I have completed the online course for this book, Soul Ties, Breaking the Ties That Bind. People have this book all over the world. And so I'm just sounding the alarm that now the online program is available. Now, some of you say, well, what's an online program? An online program is a set of videos, sessions that I pre-record and I upload to my website. And once you attain a password and a login, you have lifetime access. It's not like you have to wait for a certain time for me to come on. No, you can go in at will and you can move at your own pace. And so I finished the online program for this book, Soul Ties, Breaking the Ties That Bind. And it's available right now. Now, this particular program is going to include sessions like this. What are soul ties? That's going to be the first thing we deal with. What are soul ties? The second session will deal with why are soul ties so hard to break? There are some of you who know what I mean when I say they're hard to break. Session three will be the demonic powers behind soul ties. Session four, signs of a sick soul. Session five, the restoration of the soul. Session six, how to break a soul tie. And don't skip to six before, you know, you go through one through five. Session seven, the pain of purification from soul ties. And then session eight, purging the residue of a soul tie. I am encouraging you right now to go to the website. The online program, lifetime access, move at your own pace. It's just you and I. You can leave me comments. I mean, it's a wonderful experience. It's just $49. The Lord told me to slash the prices of my online programs so that more people could access it. $49. I want you to go to rcblakes.com right now, and I want you to get this online program. It's going to change your life. I promise you, it's going to change your life. Breaking the ties that bind. God bless you. Thank you.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.